Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the grace of God. Are you glad for the grace of God? Give the Lord a shout for his grace. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, please, you may be seated in Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in Jesus' name. All right. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace and your goodness. Thank you for the privilege to be partakers of the grace that you have made available to us. Be exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, our hearts are open to receive your word today. We ask that your word will come to everyone here present in the name of Jesus. Amen. And those who are watching on the internet, we ask that your grace will reach them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Now, this month is a month of grace, and we are looking at the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And grace here is rooted in the substitutionary work of Christ for us. Amen? Amen? Now, to understand the grace of God, you have to first and foremost understand what Christ came into the world to do. The purpose of God for sending was death. God said, you shall surely die. Amen. Now, after the disobedience, we saw that man didn't die immediately. All right? It took time for man to die. So God didn't mean that man was going to die immediately. But God meant that man was going to die eventually. Praise God. Because if God meant that man was going to die immediately, man would have died the moment that they ate the fruit, Adam and Eve. Okay? Death would have been the result right there and then. But God didn't mean that. God meant death eventually. Praise God. And I think that is one of the reasons why people out there in the world are still sinning. They're still continuing in their sin. Why? Because the consequence of sin is not immediate in physical manifestation, all right? But it is an eventual thing. It is a process. It is something that happens in the process of time. Amen? Okay? And that's why we must not play down on the word of God, because we are not seeing the physical consequences of the wrongdoings that people have done. We shouldn't say, well, because we can't see the physical consequence yet, we should continue. No. The soul that sins shall die. Sinning here simply means breaking the commandment of God. So this was how sin came into the world. And when sin came into the world, the Bible tells us that sin came and brought death with it. That means death came through sin and then entered into the human race. And that entry point was sin. Death came through the entry point of sin. And so death simply means death. What does it mean to die? It means to die. Praise God. Okay? Literally. Okay? It means to die. So death means death. Oh, well, in our mind, we're thinking death is maybe life has come to an end. Okay? Which is true in a sense, but not true, you know, prophetically and theologically. Praise God. All right? Death simply means life separated from its source. Amen. Life separated from the fueling point, the point of fueling that life. Life is separated from its sustenance. That's what death is. Praise God. Physical death is separation from physical life. Okay? Spiritual death is separation from spiritual life. So death itself is actually separation from life, but not termination of life. Amen? Okay, so when God said to Adam and Eve, the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, you will surely die. He meant they were going to die. And they were going to die in that they would die and they would die. Amen? You know, someone says, well, what is he saying? Now look at it. If you look at that word, surely die, in the Hebrew Bible, it simply means God was saying, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. The word surely there is the same word used for die. And the word die is die. So thou shalt surely die, meaning thou shalt die. You know, another translation says, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, in death you shall die. Death. Amen? So that means God meant death much more than just dying once. God meant death twice. Amen? In other words, God meant that man would die the first time and would die again. All right, there are different kinds of death. Okay? Death is in degrees, and death is in levels, and death is in types. Amen? Physical death is not ultimate. Physical death is the least of all deaths. Praise God. Amen? Of course, very painful because that person is separated from his loved ones, beloved ones, family. Praise God. But the truth is, physical death is the least of all deaths. Amen. The Bible speaks of spiritual death. The Bible speaks of second death. Okay, so there's physical death, there's spiritual death, and there's the second death. Amen. Spiritual death is the mother of all deaths. Now, the second death is the worst of the three deaths. Amen? Why? Because it has no remedy. That's anything that it has no remedy is a hopeless situation, right? Okay, so it has no remedy. That's when hell is cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible calls that the second death. Okay? There's people have gone to hell and they have come back. Amen? True? Yeah. Some people visited hell by the mercy of God and they came back. Amen? But nobody has been to the lake of fire before and came back. Praise God. Amen? Physical death is separation from physical life. Spiritual death is separation from spiritual life. All right? The second death is separation from God and God's goodness and God's loving kindness and the power of God, the grace of God forever, eternally. Now, for the dread of hell, hell itself is dreadful. Okay? But hell is not as dreadful as the lake of fire. You know, the word lake itself, all right, is a serious word. That means water is entrapped somewhere and there is not flowing out. Is that not a lake? Talk to me now. Is that not a lake? Okay. Unlike an island, okay, where you have landmass and then surrounded, you know, So you have water like Lagos Highland. So you can at least swim to another place. But you see, when it comes to lake, amen, lake simply means, The water is trapped in there and it's not flowing out. It's just there. So a lake of fire simply means God's judgment surrounding, building a wall or barricade around the judgment of God. Okay? Stronger judgment shielding the judgment of God such that that judgment is eternal. There's no escape from the lake of fire. Amen? Amen. So if you're not born again yet, don't say, well, don't scare people with hell and all that. Why shouldn't you scare people with hell? All right? You can tell your children, that's fire. Don't go there. You don't say, no, don't scare them with fire. Eh? Don't scare them. Do you want their fingers burnt? Amen? Amen. Listen very carefully. Hell is real.
Yes, sir.
If you're not born again, that's where you're going. You're going to hell. I'm telling you the truth. That's where you're going to. Amen? That's the truth. I'm telling you. If you're not born again, don't let people be telling you that, look, see, no problem. The mercy of God will just package you. All right? That if you stay in hell for long and God says, I'm tired of seeing these people in pain and all that. You don't know God. It is what God wants to be conscious of. That is conscious of. Amen. He says, your sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Not that my memory is dull, but I've chosen not to remember. So God can decide, listen very carefully, he can make up his mind, he can decide and say, look, I will not be conscious of people in hell anymore. And it is so. Whatever he says is so. Amen? And listen very carefully. Don't joke with your life. Don't toothpick with your destiny. If you're not born again, that's where you're going to. That's your destination. Someone says, on Sunday morning for crying out loud. Pastor. My wife didn't offend me this morning, so. so you just be like, what? I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, it may be frank and very direct, but listen very carefully. You need that sword. You need somebody to confront you with the fact that hell is real. Has anybody told you before that if a man rejects the grace of God, we're talking about grace now, celebrating the grace. If you reject that grace, the grace of God, that man is going to hell. The woman is going to hell. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. Jesus the Lord spoke more about hell than he spoke about heaven. Read the Gospels. Try and do it. Do a study. I'm a student of the Bible. Check heaven. The things he said about heaven. He spoke about the kingdom of God, which is the reign of God here on earth. Amen. And then the eventual kingdom of God to come. But heaven, literal heaven, where the glory of God is, that place called heaven. He said very few things about heaven. Because, you see, hell is a place that we should scare people from going to. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? But if you embrace the grace of God and live your life according to God's word, listen very carefully, you are not going to hell. So heaven is going to be a discovery for you. A lot of things you get to know about heaven when you get there. But because God knows that he doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to go to hell. So he's telling you a lot of things about hell. So you will not go there. Amen?
Amen.
Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
And this is one of the reasons why we preach the gospel. We must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ 24/7. Amen?
Amen?
Call people to the consciousness of a lifetime decision that must be made. They must make that decision once and for all. Because if that decision is not made, listen very carefully, they are going to a place where they'll be shocked and say, ha, how did I get here? Now, if you read the account of Lazarus and the rich man, you remember? Okay, Jesus showed us very vividly and clearly the manifestation of life in hell. Amen? How life would be in hell, consciousness of the soul in hell. Amen? The rich man was conscious of himself in hell. Hell is not like, okay, you're burning and you just burn. It's not burning, you just burn and die and that's all. All right? No. The soul of man is indestructible but can be punished. There's torment. Have you heard people before? You know, your parents, some of our parents didn't beat us while growing up. All right? They just spoke to us and started crying. No cane, no nothing and all that. No flogging. Look at you. What's your age again? And say, I'm 16. Is this where your mates are? You'll be eating with 10 fingers. eating. Look at your life. All right? And then you started crying. There was no beating. That means the soul can be tormented without cane. When I was growing up, it was my elder sister that was beaten because she was not sensitive to words. You know, there are some children like that. Say everything, just talk. And pam, they act out what is in their heart. If you may say anything, it is what is they can see here. That's what they will act out. All right, but for me, all right, my mom would just come and say, look, do you know you have a destiny to fulfill and you are going places? So I need you to focus on what God has called you to do. Amen? Not all children out there are going to a place in destiny. Many of them are just onlookers, spectators, all right, and passers-by. My mom said that to me. So focus. And I'll cry. I'll sit down with my books, read. Just one statement. You have a destiny to fulfill. Amen? So in hell, it's not like you will just suffer for 1,000 years and then you will die. 1,000 years won't do it, too. 1,000 years won't do it. It's not suffering for 1,000 years or suffering for 1 million years and then that will be it. No way. Amen? It is eternal punishment. Because man is an eternal soul and man cannot be. You see, the punishment or judgment of the sin of man for his eternal soul or committed by his eternal soul cannot be justly punished in time. Amen? Eternity alone is enough to punish the sin of man forever so that the justice of God is fulfilled. Someone says, well, is God wicked? No. Amen? God is a judge and a judge and the judge of the universe. Now, Barrister Moore can tell us when a judge rules that a criminal should be incarcerated for 10 years. Amen? Is that wickedness? Maybe a rapist who raped children, like 55 of them. And then they now sentence the person to 50 years in imprisonment. Amen? Please, listen very carefully. Is that wickedness? Talk to me now. Barrister Mo, true? Good. Is that wickedness? No. If God brings his counts against you, against the sin that you have committed, all right, and he says this is the judgment, as an eternal soul, you will not object to it. You will know that, this judgment is just. So the judgment of God is a revelation of his justice, not his wickedness. God is not wicked. Now, just imagine us in the New Jerusalem, living in righteousness, enjoying the love of God, and then a criminal from hell or the lake of fire. Just one or two. Just entered into the New Jerusalem. You just imagine. Imagine. I say, well, it's just the mercy of God. I just felt they should come and visit you. Amen. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
So they have to be incarcerated there for life, eternally. That's why I tell people, listen very carefully. If you don't make up your mind now to get born again and walk with God, amen, you have sacrificed your eternity on the bill of pleasure. Some things are pleasurable now, but they don't last forever. Someone says that there's no pleasure in fornication. It's a lie. There's pleasure inside. The Bible calls pleasure, calls sin, the pleasure of sin. Amen? There are pleasures in sin. Don't tell me, you know, if you're smoking Indian hemp, all right, there's pleasure there. You feel high, you feel on top of the world. You can slap anybody. Sometimes your brain starts working like a clock. You can remember anything. And then you just be wondering, and they say we shouldn't smoke. When I can remember anything, smoking, forget about that thing. Amen?
Amen.
There's pleasure in sin. It's there. Pleasure is there. Don't say there's no pleasure. The Bible calls it pleasures of sin for a season, for a moment. It is not eternal. It is not everlasting. Hello? Uh-huh. But there's pleasure in it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So that people, you see, you have to tell people the truth in church. Because when you try the thing, you're like, and they say this thing is not sweet. God, why? Says, this is what you've been keeping me from all my life. I've never felt like this before in my life. And you're stretching like, oh, dear Jesus. But the thing is, when the repercussions start coming back to you, amen, listen very carefully. That is when people get into a point of, okay, maybe I should not have done this. Had I known. Amen?
Amen.
Now let me teach you how to make the most of the grace of God, so that you don't take the grace of God for granted. Amen?
Amen.
Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 tells us, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. All men. All men. Now you're saved. If you're saved here, wave your hands. Okay, if you're not saved, put down your hand. Put down your hands, you're saved now. If you're not saved, can you put up your hand? You're not born again. All eyes closed. Okay? You're not was created for Satan and his angels. Okay. Not going to hell. Amen? You don't need to go to hell. You need not go to hell. Okay, stand up. Place your right hand on your chest. Okay, look at me. You don't want to go to hell, right? Good. And you want Jesus to save you. Good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now say these words after me. Mean every word from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I repent of my sins today.
I come to you today.
In repentance. I confess you as Lord of my life.
I believe in you
as Savior and Lord of my life. And I believe you died for my sins. And on the third day, you were raised again for my justification. Today, I confess you as Lord of my life and Lord forever. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Oh, great, great God, great God. See, there's, look at me, there's joy in your heart now. Place your hand, place your hand in your right hand, on your chest. Father, fill this vessel with your spirit. In Jesus' name. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, it gives you utterance. You will speak in a language you do not understand, but just go ahead and speak. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, church, rejoice. Come on, rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, this is how to make the most of the grace of God. Making the most of God's grace requires that you understand that God's grace is not meant for lasciviousness. God's grace is not meant for you to live your life anyhow, all in the name of the grace of God. Mm-mm. Look at what the word tells us. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live how? Soberly and righteously and godly. Where? In this present world. We don't receive the grace of God to live our lives anyhow. We have received the grace of God to live our life according to the will of God. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
Mm. So why did Jesus come? Why did God send Jesus to die for our sins? Why did Jesus come into this world? He came to save us from this untoward generation. The grace of God is abundantly available to live a godly life in this generation. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, the grace of God is not for us to live like unbelievers. Now let me say this. When I was, when I got born again on campus, and I was there as a Christian on campus, listen very carefully, I didn't have the privilege of living like some Christians live, young Christians live right now. Because in our generation, we didn't have such privileges. Now, in this generation, we have a lot of strange ideologies and concepts that have seeped into the Christian consciousness of many Christians today. For example, the idea of dating. You know, someone says, well, what's wrong with that? It is not in the Bible. I'm a Bible person to the core. Dating is not a biblical concept. Amen? So what is dating? Is dating courtship? No, talk to me now. Is dating courtship? Okay, so dating is not courtship. So what is dating? All right? No, talk to me. You understand? I don't understand it. That's what happened. Because it's not in the Bible. I don't understand it. What is dating? You have to help me. Minister, talk where you. Don't tell me you don't understand dating. No, you are in this generation. No? My generation is probably old school generation. You understand dating? So people are denying now. Okay, I will call Precious. Precious. Precious understands dating. Come. Okay. Let's appreciate Precious. Here, come. What is dating? Preach, Pastor. All right, what's dating?
I don't understand it. I'm Omo Obaji. I don't understand.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's go and sit down. Let's appreciate him. Church drama. Praise God. All right, so what is dating? Ayobami, want to help me? You don't understand it. How come people... Jipo should help me now. You don't know it. I've not heard of that word before. Have you heard... tell me now, who can help me? You can ask Google. Okay. So do you understand dating now? So go ahead, tell us.
Okay, so dating is when there's a relationship between people of opposite sex, a man and a woman, and they are in that relationship as lovers in quotes. They are not married, but they have that understanding between themselves.
Okay, so what are they really committed to themselves in dating? Is there commitment in dating? Like courtship, like commitment to get married to each other?
Yes, there's a form of commitment, but in terms of how binding or how valid it is, that's something. But they are committed to each other. I see her, I know this is my girlfriend, that's my boyfriend, so they have that commitment.
Okay, that's good. All right, so let's appreciate him. All right, so now the Bible. The Bible. Are we Christians?
Yes, sir.
So what is the standard of living or for living for us? What is the standard? The Bible. The word. Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, in dating, could there be like play with each other, romantic in dating? Oh, no, let's just at least talk to me now.
Yes, sir.
It's dating. It's part of dating now. Isn't it? No, talk to me. Is it part of dating?
Yes.
All right. And maybe after, you know, the first trial and there is sexual intercourse involved and you feel like you are not really satisfied with this person, she didn't really make it. So what happens? You move on. Okay, Josh, can you date like two or three ladies at the same time? Is it possible? Eh?
Not me, yes, sir, but you have
to. You see? Because you're trying them out, right?
Yes, sir.
You can take this out for a date today, and then another one for a date tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And then another one for a date the day after. Is that possible?
Yes.
Good. Wow. So, is asking God to know his plan for you involved in dating?
Yes, sir.
No, talk to me now. Is it involved?
No.
So, you are doing the picking. All right, you're sampling.
Yes, sir.
So, you're sampling, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Wow. It's a paradigm shift. I don't understand it. Amen? So as a Christian, we are meant to sample. God does not have a plan for us. All right? Just sample this one, sample that one, sample, and just keep sampling until you get to the right one, right? Does God still have a will for you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For your marriage?
Yes, sir.
For your future?
Yes, sir.
For your destiny?
Yes, sir.
All right. So where did that come from? Who injected us with that virus? Who scattered our internal structure, our belief system? What is wrong with us? Amen?
Amen.
Is America the Bible?
No, sir.
Is the West the Bible?
No, sir.
Will you be judged according to the standard of the West?
No, sir.
Where are we learning these things from? Who is schooling us? Nollywood? Hollywood? Bollywood? All that will end in the woods. Amen? If you don't want to end in the woods, don't let the wood school you. Now, imagine a brother in choir. Okay? You've dated like 25 sisters. No, just imagine I'm just, he's married. Thank God he's married. So show them you didn't wait. Well, mine is very tight now. I added some weight, so very tight. So I removed it. I'll buy another one. So it's not that my wife and I had any issues. So that one can happen. Amen. It cannot happen. No. Even if people are dreaming it and say they will soon eat a light. No. All right. Even witches flying at night. Can't happen. Amen. I don't know how to love any. I appreciate ladies and all that. You look good. And does not mean I have any feeling for you. Never. It can feeling for you. It cannot happen. Ask the ladies that lived with us. Feeling for what? There's only one woman I have feelings for. That's why when I want to when I want to fast, I beg her. Georgia Ngbawe. You understand? Because she's the only one that can come. And she's doing like this, and I feel like, oh, Oluwa just shanu me just for this. I will have to break this fast. Amen. So if I am fasting, I run away from her. So that Malik Bawe. Amen. Glory to God. Now listen to this. God, one of our callings by the grace of God. And we're insured for this. The power of God, eternal power of God, has insured us for it. Is to model the standard of the Bible to the younger generation. Because some of you just grew up, you're like, it's dating. Okay, how many ladies? And you are now counting 25, 30, 55.
Your question.
And you've entered into all of them, or you've played close to it, very close to it, very close to it. You played around it, played and say, well, there was no penetration. You see, look, sex is not penetration. Sex is orgasm. You didn't get me. Someone says it's penetration. If you do, all right, you say there's no, you did it. In your heart, you concluded it.
Yes,
what are you saying? You better repent, say there's no penetration. So you can come from behind like this. So far, you don't enter in through between my laps. I'm still a virgin. You are not. So they can come from behind. Anal is allowed. But just don't enter inside, though, because I'm a virgin. I must marry as a virgin. And you're walking like this. But Joe. Amen.
Amen.
So think about it. Now you eventually arrived at the 27th. Okay? And you picked the 27th. Now you have 26 ladies that are not married yet. Amen? And then they see you hold the hand of a lady, your wife, to the altar. Except those people have been really converted in their mindset. They will not wish you well. They won't intercede for you. They will not pray for you. In the same church. So this one is marriable. Me, you played around me. Carry. All right? And then something, you see, listen very carefully. This is how people get into witchcraft. There's witchcraft in church. It's not flying at night. It's one of the works of the flesh. Put it up. Galatians 5. Verse 19 or 20. All right, look at it. Yeah, 20. Okay, witchcraft. Witchcraft is, you didn't marry me, Abby, and you think it would be well with you like that. All right, and you're fighting some things, you don't know where they are coming from. You invisible battles. And you're praying, Zanano Godana Grata Krasota. And then you fall asleep again, and then you see you start having nightmares. Because you didn't do it God's way. There's victory, of course, but you still have to fight. Amen? Don't let me say much, because God is cautioning me. Amen? And listen very carefully. Dating is not God's idea. Listen, if you prayerfully consider a lady that you want to get married to, the first thing is not say, okay, dating, and then you start. You can be friends in church, all right? Visit with each other in a place where there is sanity, all right, and not in the dark. Are you what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then you're friends for some time, okay? And then you can go to the lady and say, I want to marry you. Will you marry me? And then a Christian lady, she'll not just, I've been expecting it. No. All right, she will go and pray. Do we still believe in prayer?
Yes, sir.
No, prayer is not just emergency response from heaven. Like, you know, you feel like, there's something, let's pray. All right, but when it comes to seeking out the will of God for you, you didn't pray. But now you have a challenge, let's pray. And God says, well, if you sought out the will of God for me, you would not have entered into this problem. Well, you didn't seek out God's will for you. You just wanted to do it your own way. And God says, I will answer your prayers, but don't put me under pressure. I will answer at the appointed time. Continue. I have a prophetic calendar for you. The decisions you made, you've gone out of my plan for you. I have to reroute you. And it takes time to reroute. GPS too, it takes time to reroute people, right? If it says turn left, you say no. Who's talking to me? Is it Google that is Google Map that is talking to me? Like, am I your mate? You just keep driving on. And then he will route you. It may take another 30 minutes in addition to the calculated time. Right? So there are people right now, God is rerouting them. And then you say, no, God, you know, you have to. God says, look, no, it's rerouting we are doing. This is not following the original plan. No. I have to reroute you back on track. So, all right, for you, be praying 2 hours every day. He said, well, this, my other brother is praying 30 minutes every day. He doesn't need routing. He's following my plan for him. You will do 3 hours. In fact, I've added 1 more hour to it. So you're wondering, follow God's plan for you. Mm-hmm. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes,
so that idea of dating, amen? I remember, let me give you an example. When Deepak wanted to get married, amen, I was there. All right? Before you even, stand up. Where's your wife? Is she? Okay. I was there by the grace of God. Amen? Celebrate them. When they had challenges, I told them, I said, look, you're meant for, didn't I tell you? She came to me and said, this man and all that, this, I said, look, this is your husband. All right, you know it deep within you. I know it as well. So, this is your husband. I said, yeah. You mean I'll marry this man? I said, that's your husband from heaven. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And they got married. It was a breakthrough. Amen.
Amen.
And I told them, I said, as so long as you keep walking with God, it will get better and better by the day. Amen.
Amen.
And we give God all the praise for what God has done. Come on, shout hallelujah. God still has a will for you. That you have a will does not mean God has given you a will to now will your life. God still has a plan for your life. Don't say, well, you know, I just make up my mind and I'll marry anybody. Hey! You know, as a pastor, I've been in this thing since 1994. Amen? Uh-huh. Some of you were very young at that time. I don't want to say more than that so that you don't feel like that. Are you from what I'm saying here? There are some couples you cannot. You see, all this, nobody can do like this, and all your marital problems will be solved.
So please, go answer.
Father Gabasadaba. And then you fall under the anointing. No. It's a technical thing. It's not like receiving a miracle, like healing. It's a project. Amen?
Amen?
So when you're counseling with people, you tell them, say, you know what? You will have to be patient. Be patient with your wife. No, I can't be patient. Uh-huh. You will have to be patient. Because, you see, let me tell you something. That young lady, your colleague at work, it's a good side that she will show you first. That was how you met your wife too. It wasn't a bad side that you said, look, me, I deal with men, I will deal with you. You feel like, eh? Sorry. I mean, no. So what you are saying, she's very patient, the way, you know, she addresses me well, the way she talks to me. This honor is there. I feel this connection in my spirit. As I said, connection. Connection, it starts with connection before it becomes disconnection. That's how it starts. Be patient, walk this one. Is it because if you marry a woman or a man, all right, you're marrying more than the body, the frame, the morphology. It's not just the morphology, the software that runs in her, software, mindset. Burnt into the hardware. As a woman, you look and you're like, wow, what an angel. And then you interact, you say, hey, Jesus Christ. This is not an angel, it's a fallen angel. I'm telling you. Same with men. Same with men. It's not just women alone. Same with men. Men. Amen.
Amen.
See, listen very carefully. For younger ones, you have the opportunity to make it right now. I tell you, this dating idea says, is this my model? This is my role model. This one is my role model. That person, all of them are Hollywood stars. All right, Jesus is not your role model. Elijah is not your role model. Amen. Amen. Now, someone was asking me, I like your marriage and all that. Listen very carefully. See, the ladies, let me teach you. Some of the younger men here, I will teach you how to make it happen. You have to be patient. There was one I told at Ife. She wanted to get married to a lady, and I said, you are not ripe for marriage at all. Go and wash your hand from the subject of marriage and throw the water away. He said, our pastor, I said, I'm telling you, you are not ready at all. He said, I will tell you when you are ready. And he waited for 4 years. 4 years. And I told him, I said, look, now you're ready. He's in JLT Ikeja. Amen. I won't mention his name. Just got engaged now. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying here? Thank you. Okay. Okay, that's good. All right. I wanted to know why, because you know, because it's another strange idea. Amen. So, amen. You know, let me tell you something. It is a father that tells his children when they are ready for marriage. I'm not just talking about biological parents who are not responsible for their children. Spiritual parents. You carry yourself as, am I ready? You are not ready. And I will tell you the truth. All right, well, but I am 27 years old. And so? Amen? Is it not better to marry at 40 and know what you are doing and marry well than to marry at 27 and suffer between 27 and 40? And you now discover your true self at 40. And you now look and say, I married my roommate. Because let me tell you something. Children marry for pleasure. All right? It takes a mature man to marry for destiny. Yes, sir. Because with time, ask those that are married now. All right? Is it every time you look at your wife and you say, it's not all the time. The thing that is shocking you now, it will simmer. It will simmer. Amen.
Amen.
Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
I want to pray for you. Let's be upstanding. Amen.
Amen.
Of course, how many of us have felt, don't feel bad somehow? Or you may not, don't signify, just know it in your heart, just respond in your heart so that you don't offend anybody. How many of us have felt before that you married too early? Just answer inside and say, don't say, so that your wife will not punish you. just answer within. Amen. Are you for what I'm saying? Just answer and say, Tongue it, nakamba rada basha. Amen. Namako dalia bara. Dig la mano gosa. Asha. Amen. So I want us to pray. Lord, if there's any strange mindset in my mind, mindset, Lord, reveal it to me and help me to submit to the word of God that will change it. Amen. Simple prayer. Go ahead and pray.
Praise and glory, I worship you and I give you praise. Strong tower in your name we will stand, a hiding place to which we can run. I have a prayer.